Use your tape of Friday, 6th November today, the 15th of November. So you can see it took quite a while. The tape you mailed on Thursday, the 5th, came here in just about a week. I believe I've already mentioned to you about the tape on the 5th that evidently you were taping and then went back to check your tape and left it on playback and recorded the last half with absolutely nothing on it. So please watch your tapes very carefully. Now for the next factor in taping. The tape recorder I have has two speeds, 1 7/8. This is the speed I'm using currently. It will give you twice as much time on the same number of footage of tape. The other speed I have is 3 3/4. I think it would be worthwhile for us to utilize the 1 7/8. You know, saving those pennies, we'll be able to get more talking in on the same amount of tape. I am also writing this in a letter, so when you get the tape and it starts going like this, you will know you have the wrong speeds. Then just take out and check it out and see whether it should be 1 7/8 or 3 3/4. As I say, we will try in the future to do 1 7/8, which is a slow speed and gets more footage out of your tapes. The next factor to watch is look at the side of the box and see how many feet of tape you are getting. For example, the Scotch recording tape which I bought gives me 150 feet of acetate tape for 35 cents. The RCA Red Seal sound tape gives me 225 feet. I've forgotten the exact price on that. It's 40 or 45. So you can see all tapes are not the same. I'm sure the one you got, just looking at the roll, is probably 100 feet. It was a very short tape. So watch your tapes very carefully when you're buying them. They all come in the same size box, but as I say, they vary quite a bit. That's our 225 feet versus 150 feet versus the little one you got. Well, as I said, here it is, Sunday the 15th, and we're busy working all day long. I've got a half an hour off for lunch. I gobbled my meal down and am trying to get off a little on your tape before I head back to work again. We have another long report which has to go into MACV with all sorts of statistics, etc., etc. If we spend less time talking about what's going on here and left us busy with our Vietnamese counterparts, I think things would go a lot better. However, we're so enamored of statistics and long, voluminous reports which prove how well things are going, I'm afraid they don't have too much time to actually see what is happening out here. Well, enough of the business. Last week, of course, we had 11th of November, which was Veterans Day. I told the people in the office they were really lucky this week to be able to show their dedication to the government by working two holidays instead of one. Of course, we work all Sundays. I goofed one Sunday, though, and just ran out of steam and just stayed in my room practically and ate and slept because I've been going straight visiting all these various places ever since we've come here. It takes so long to fly around this darn corridor and visit the people at divisions and all the sectors and cities and various other things with the general that we're on the road quite a bit of the time. As I say, at corps level, we're practically elder statesmen there. It's the poor young fellows who are down at battalion level and district level who are carrying the whole load of the war on their shoulders. But I guess it was the same way back during World War II in Korea. Those jokers sitting back in Paris, in 8th Army headquarters, with their big fat rear ends up against a steam radiator while the rest of us were out freezing our tootsies, had it made. I guess I finally reached the stage where I've joined the old poo class.
I believe I told you in my last letter that I had really been receiving a volume of mail from Shirley. It's really amazing. Starting on the 30th, I got a letter the 30th, the 2nd, the 6th, the 9th, and today I got another one dated the 11th. So you can see she's really in a writing mood. I'm very proud of her. Incidentally, you had mentioned in the letter, and Teddy had also mentioned, that she was rather unhappy she hadn't received an answer to her first letter. I assume by now that she finally received the first letter, which I answered the same day that she wrote to me. At times, the mail is erratic over here, as with the tapes. As I say, some you can get in 3 or 4 days, others it takes 10 days or so to get. So you just can't tell how the mail exchange is going to be. But as I say, once again, congratulations to Shirley for her writing. I sure hope she keeps it up. I'm sure a little disappointed in Kay, though. All I've gotten from her is one picture, not even a note in it. You'd think she'd be able to add a postscript or something onto your letters. So jar her up a little. Poor Teddy. I wrote him a letter telling him to stick with his studies and not worry about going up and getting a job. and I'm afraid it hurt his morale some. I didn't mean that at all, and I'll get him another letter off, patting him on the back for his grades, which I've already done. So I think it would pay for you to pat him on the back also. One of his letters mentioned that he would sure like to take the whole family out with him to church on the weekend that he's home. So plan on doing that and going to lunch to make him happy. He also mentioned he'd like to take some guns down to the school and loan them to let them put them up in their museum on a loan basis. I'm in favor of this, so let him select out the ones he wants and put them in the trunk of the car when he goes down. I'll write to him and ask him which ones he would like to take and so forth, so we'll have an idea of the types he wants to take down there. But this will also cut down our weight somewhat, which we should do. Well, enough on that subject. I'm afraid I'm going to have to take a break here and go up and continue working, and I'll be back later this evening and finish this tape. Well, here it is, 6:30 in the evening, and I'm going to try and finish this tape before I go into dinner. Tonight is steak night, so I'm looking forward to a nice, great, big, thick, juicy steak. They all think I'm queer here because I refuse to stand outside and get the smoke from the charcoal fire in my hair. I turn to the sergeant and tell him, pick a nice steak and cook it for me on the stove, the way civilized people should eat. You can imagine what an oddball this makes me among the younger officers. Of course, I don't mind that, because with the pressure I'm putting on them, they've got to have a few things to talk about. And the fact that I have my steak cooked on a stove instead of out in the charcoal grill is probably as good as any. Next, I have a series of pictures taken during the parade and ceremony on 1 November. I believe I've written to you before about this, and also one of my previous letters enclosed a picture which was taken during the party at the general's house that evening. Picture number one is the reviewing stand. The man to my right is General Caw, the Corps commander. To my left is one of the Montagnard officials of this area. He is one of the local tribesmen. Note the difference in complexion and facial features from the Vietnamese, who are much lighter and have more Oriental-type features. Next is a picture taken of the reviewing stand. At this time, the general is out in front, receiving honors from the colors. The next photo is of the color guard, which had marched forward, and you can see the Vietnamese national flag with the regimental flag. Notice it has a fringe around it very similar to the regimental flag presented to the O5 by the village of St. Mary Glisse. This is only natural, since the French were in here for over 100 years and pretty well trained these people along their lines. Here is another view from the front of the honor guard with the massed troops in the background. Picture number five is General Caw and his staff coming forward with some wreaths to lay at the foot of the monument in the field. Number six is a photo of him saluting the monument and the flag as it is raised. Photo number seven is a traditional troops mast. However, at the right-hand side of the picture, I think you'll see something interesting. Here is a group of Montagnards with their spears and loincloths standing as an honor guard around the flag. These Montagnards had a revolt in September, so the general and the Vietnamese government are going out of their way to include them in all possible ceremonies and so forth and so on to try and integrate them into the government. Because if the Montagnards ever revolted in this area, the poor Vietnamese would never be able to stand the blow, and I'm afraid the whole central sector here would collapse. However, I have hopes that we may keep the Montagnards on our side. At least I'm doing everything I can to go out to various ceremonies and so forth with them and with the general to try and keep our relations mended with the Montagnards. Next is a group of the Montagnard women saluting during the presentation of the colors. Notice they wear black clothes with sort of embroidered bands around the bust, the waist, and the hem of the skirt. This embroidery work is really something. It reminds me of the petit point that your little French bags are made of, and it's very, very complicated. They make it on a loom, and it's very difficult and rather expensive, I understand. If you'd like a band of it just as a souvenir, let me know, and I can pick one up here without too much trouble. Next shows the Montagnards around the flag just before they raised it. You can get a better picture here of them with their spears and their loincloths. Note the little bottom sticking out of the loincloths there. It's really funny. I don't see how they manage it in this weather, because it gets pretty cool up here around this time of the year. Here's another close-up, or rather a back view, of the Montagnards. As I say, you can notice the way they wear their loincloths with part of it draped around their right leg. Here's another photo taken from some distance showing the Montagnard guards around the flag again, with the flag having been raised. In one of my future tapes, I will cover a rice wine ceremony. This is very interesting, and it's a ceremony that we go through out here with the Montagnards becoming blood brothers and so forth. All of the VIPs who come through my area get it. It's sort of a three-ring circus that we put on, like the people coming to Paris all go to the Follies. As I say, one of my next tapes, when I get my photos back, from the photographer and am able to catalog them and so forth, I'll get them all lined up and run through a complete Montagnard rice wine ceremony for you. Next shows the general presenting some awards to some of his Vietnamese officers. And finally, we have the flyby of the Vietnamese Air Force, some L-19s and some old World War II fighter bombers, which, however, are very effective here in the counterinsurgency war. The next photo is one taken by my camera. Here you can see the honor guard of girls that they have. They have quite a nice ceremony. When the general goes up and puts the medals on the soldiers, they salute, receive their medals, and so forth. And after he's through, then all these girls go up, one for each fella, and they bring garlands of flowers and hang them around the soldier's neck. Quite a nice custom, and I think the soldiers appreciate it much more than some old general coming around dangling a medal on their breast. Well, dear, that covers the ceremony. I hope you don't find these rundowns of the pictures too tedious for you, but as I say, I'm trying to get the pictures that I can, get them together, and give you a little running commentary, which I think might make it a little more interesting for you. Now for your letter of the 10th. In that, you're complaining that the mail from me has slowed down, and you hope that you have a letter waiting for you when you get home tonight. As you can realize, I'm quite busy on the road here quite a bit of the time. I can assure you, however, that I answer every letter I get. So if you want more mail, dear, write me more letters. As you know, I've got a system. When the mail comes in, I have a little box on my desk here. It's got three little compartments in. The unanswered mail goes in one. Next is mail that I've answered partially but would like to get into a little more detail on some of the subjects goes in the second one. And in the third portion is all of the answered mail. In fact, I've had so many letters from you, I've moved it from that third portion down to one of my desk drawers where I keep them bundled together in a rubber band. So you can see I do have a system, dear. And in case the mail does drop a little, it's only because you haven't written me enough letters for me to answer you. I've answered every one, so keep that mail coming. Perhaps what you can do is have Kay write a few letters too, and then while I answer hers, at least you'll be getting some mail into the house. The thing to do, though, is write them on different days and make sure that your letters, Shirley's and Kay's, all don't come on the same day. Each one of you take turns mailing them, then perhaps you'll have me writing these letters on different days and getting them back. At least I hope so. Incidentally, the big news in our area, of course, is a series of typhoons we've had here and floods. It's really terrible. Some of these towns have had 5-8 feet of water rushing through the streets. It just takes away everything, buildings and all, except their larger concrete-sized buildings. The people are quite used to it, though. They say this storm is the worst in 60 years. Normally, it just goes up to 2 or 3 feet through the towns, and they all get out and pile all the furniture in the middle of the room or up on the roof and throw some mats over it and sit around and wait for the waters to go down again, which they do in a couple of days. Of course, this is a fatalistic approach which you find in the East. You're very familiar with this if you think about it for a while. Remember the way things were in India, with the people sleeping in the streets, starving. The dead body we passed several times in the road was still there for several days. They have a completely different approach toward the value of life out in this area in the Far East, as you know. Well, dear, that about wraps it up for my news for the day. I've got quite a bit left on my tape. As you know, this slow speed really gives you nearly double the time that a fast tape does, so you can consider this one is two tapes. Gee whiz, there's a sure lot of things to buy out here. People are going to Bangkok and bringing things back, going to Hong Kong, going down in Saigon and buying all sorts of things. There's so many, many very interesting things that would be nice to have that you can buy here in the Orient. The trouble is, I'm never quite sure what to buy. I never know, particularly when it comes to some of the clothing that the gals are getting and various things like that. As you know, my idea of sizes, colors, and other things is absolutely horrible. All I can say is too bad you can't come out here and look through some of this yourself. I'm sure you'd really have a ball shopping around. Oh, incidentally, dear, I bought myself 100 Christmas cards. I did the same thing that I did in the 05, had some design turned out, and here we're ready to send them off. I'm not very happy with them. The pastel paintings that they made up with watercolors are a heck of a lot better than the ones they printed. But at least the idea is there. It's a military card. I'll forward one of these cards to you so you can see it in my next letter or so. Incidentally, get on the stick and get a hold of Dorothy and get all those names typed out, because I want to get these cards in the mail and on the way. So please give me a full rundown on Christmas cards. As I say, I need 100 names here. Most of them will be these generals and other people that we work with, but also I'd like the ones of relatives and so forth, so it won't hurt them to get two sets of cards, one from me and one from you. Well, dear, I do miss you so much, and wish that I were home. Well, I can't really say that. I'm having such an interesting time over here. I look on this as a challenge and a real fine use of all the experience I piled up over the past 25 years. What I'll really say, I wish you were here. That would make it really ideal. True, things are bad here at times. However, we seem to be managing. The American families in Saigon are living, having a good time. We have families up at the mountain area. Our mountain area here is Dalat. It reminds me so much of the Nilgiri Mountains. The same sort of thing, only this time it's French colonial influence instead of the old British influence. They have the tea plantations around, the coffee plantations, and so forth. Then we have the area at Nha Trang. I believe I sent you a postcard from there. This is the beach area and reminds you a lot of Florida. That's a very nice place to go down and spend a little time also. So you can see, we have a lot of facilities to offer around here. Unfortunately, the people are working 6 days a week, 12, 14 hours a day. And in fact, like today, we're working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. So the government's really getting their money's worth out of us. However, I believe that this is a very important effort over here, and we must stick with it. Love and kisses, dear. Good night.